I've really been debating about this. I've got a couple different messages that the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about. But we're going to go to the book of Acts. And I know you just had your missions conference recently. And so you've heard probably a lot of preaching on missions. But missions is very close to God's heart. You know, Jesus could be said that possibly he was one of the first missionaries. You know, he left his country or his heaven to come to our world, earth, for the purpose of the gospel. And I do believe that, you know, it says he came into this world, to this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. And there's a whole lot of lost people. And while we have our, you know, while we have our tickets to heaven, and we're, I'm glad that I'm going to heaven, I don't need to just rest in that. I don't need to just rest and say, I've got my ticket to heaven, and so I'm all good. We need to think about, we need to get a heart for God's big world. Somebody said, if we get a heart for God's big world, then he'll get a heart for our little world. So we're going to look at the book of Acts, and let's go ahead and stand as we turn to the book of Acts, and we'll look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 26. We'll just read two verses. Acts chapter 14 and verse 26 and 27. I know that I spent some time on on my testimony and things, and we'll still get out at the normal time. But Acts chapter 14 and verse 26 and 27. And this is, Paul is finishing his first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas had been sent out of Antioch to go evangelize the Gentiles. And witness to everybody that they could and start churches. And so this is their return. So we'll start in verse 25. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had, which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. We'll go ahead and turn over to Acts 18 and just read one verse, 18. And Paul went out on another missionary journey. And so Acts 18 and verse 22, this is Paul returning from his second missionary journey. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church or spoke to the church, he went down to Antioch. And then our final place, chapter 21. He went back out on a third missionary journey. And Acts chapter 21 and verse 17, this is his final return. He's actually returning to Jerusalem at the very end of his third missionary journey. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. Holy Spirit, be with me in these next few minutes as I speak your word, Lord. May I speak what you'd have me to speak. Bless us. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. If you didn't catch the theme, Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul and Silas, and Paul and Luke, and Paul went out on these missionary journeys specifically for the purpose of sharing the gospel. But at the end of each of these journeys, the passages we read, it says he came back and he reported back to the church and told them what had happened. And specifically here in the last one, it says, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Talking about churches started, people saved, people baptized, people becoming soul winners themselves. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And I want to focus in for just a few minutes. And I want to say, you know, your missionaries have so many stories to tell. Your prayer letters get a little bit of them. Maybe y'all get a video update now and then. Maybe you get a missionary coming back on furlough that can show a longer video or give a longer testimony. But your missionaries, they do give you some of those little bits of reports. But I want us to think for a moment. There's no possible way that your missionaries could share all of the blessings of the Lord that happened. There's just no possible way. And so for a moment, If you wanted to title this brief message, One Day in Glory, we're going to get to hear those stories. And so the title, if I had one, would be, Oh, the Stories We'll Hear. And for a couple minutes, I'm going to tell you a couple stories that are close to my heart to stand in place of some of the stories you've never heard. You know, there's a song, and probably y'all have heard it, but the song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And it talks about I'm up in heaven, and some stranger that I don't even know is going to walk up to me, and is going to say, thank you for giving to that missionary. Thank you for what you did in your part of sharing the gospel around the world. And I believe that for some of us, hopefully all of us, there could be a really long line of people. You know, when we were in China, I talked about the fear and the oppression, and the first couple years we were there, we were actually kind of timid. We didn't really know where the line was, how far we could go, and we didn't want to get kicked out. But after we kind of found out where the line was, we danced on it. I mean, we and some other friends of ours, some other missionaries there, really were able to share the gospel. And one of the stories, we had only been there right about 2 years, and the way where we lived was kind of far from town, and so we would take a bus into town on Saturday morning, and we would do our shopping, grocery shopping for a week, and it was a grocery store kind of like a super Walmart, you know, Chinese style, but similar. And so we could get most of our shopping done all at one location. I won't go into all the stuff that you could buy, like the silkworms and the dog heads and the, I won't go into that, but they had normal stuff too. But one day, one Saturday, now I'm not short. And so in China, and I'm not Chinese, I'm not yellow skin, you know, I kind of stand out. So, which was an advantage. People would walk up to me, and then once, of course, my wife kind of looks Chinesey. But once they realized she was with me and that she spoke English, a lot of Chinese people, high schoolers and college students, would approach me trying to practice their English. And so one Saturday we were there shopping, and a college student, a young lady who was just going into a freshman of college, her and her mother were there shopping, and they approached us and started talking, and realized my wife spoke English, and so started talking with them. And my wife said, well, you know, we're going to be leaving. We're almost done with our grocery shopping, but we're going to be here next week. Why don't you plan to meet me at whatever it was, 10 o'clock in the morning? My husband can go into the store and do all the shopping while we sit down here in KFC and have some chicken and some ice cream. The ice cream sundaes at KFC in China were amazing. So that's what she did. And my wife, her Chinese was very limited. And the Chinese young lady, she had studied English, but her English was still kind of limited. So we had some Christian Chinese friends who could both speak English and Chinese. And so my wife planned for a translator to go with her that next Saturday. And so the next Saturday, that's what they did. They had a meal. And over that meal, my wife witnessed to that mother and her daughter. And both of them received Christ as their Savior. And the translator that we had attended a Chinese underground church with a Chinese pastor that we knew. And so she was able to help them go to that underground church, and they started going to that. The daughter had to leave for college. And so it was a college in another city. So when she would come back on winter break or summer break, though, her and her mom, they would get together with us and invite us to their home, or we ended up inviting them to our home, and they got to play with our boys when they were little babies and stuff. So the first time that they invited us to their home, my Chinese was still very limited, and so I brought, again, another Chinese Christian, and I was hoping to witness to the father. Again, in China at that time, they had the one-child policy, so almost all families only had one child. And so we went there, and my wife was learning how to make Chinese dumplings, those little jiaozi, I think they call them wontons in some parts of America. But they were learning how to make that, and me and the Chinese translator were talking to the father. And so I witnessed to him, and he was very respectful and very polite, and he declined. And when we left, the translator kind of nervously said, Brother Williams, did you know that he was a member of the Chinese Communist Party? And I said, I did not. And with him being a member of the Chinese Communist Party, again, talking in a private setting was legal. But again, the communists can say whatever's legal that they want to say is legal. And if he had been offended or wanted to turn us in, I'm sure we could have gotten kicked out. That didn't happen, and he was very friendly, and that family remained friends with us for 4 years, roughly. And every time we got back together, I would bring up the gospel again to him, and he would respectfully decline. Well, in 2010, once we realized that we had to return to the States to care for the medical situation with our son, we scheduled our final meeting with them at their home. And by then, my Chinese was good enough. I didn't need a translator, and I could use my Chinese Bible, and I could witness to him fully. And I just sat down with him, and I explained, you know, we're leaving in 3 weeks. And, you know, your wife has received Christ, and your daughter's received Christ, and you've heard this before, but could I go over it one last time? And he said, yes. So I went over the gospel one final time, and at the end of that, he bowed his head and received Christ as Savior. And that's just one story that even the churches that supported us when we were there, most of those churches have never heard that story. But that's just an example of the stories we're going to hear in heaven one day. There's going to be so many stories of the ones who supported missions. And there are going to be some people who get to heaven and they're not going to have any people looking them up because they didn't do anything for Christ. They didn't go, they got their ticket to heaven. And then they sat down and said, I'm good. And, oh, I don't want to be ashamed like that. I don't want to be like that. You know, there are so many stories of people, and yet we'll never know them. Another story briefly, I was able to witness to another high school young man. The high schoolers there in 12th grade, if you ever have your high schoolers complain, like, oh, I've got too much homework, the Chinese high schoolers would go to school from 8 a.m. in the morning till 9:30 p.m. at night, Monday through Friday. Yes, they took a lunch break and a supper break. Okay, and then on Saturday, most of them would go to school from 8 or 8:30 in the morning till 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and many of them would take evening training classes and Sunday classes just to try to get ahead. Because whoever makes the best grades gets into the best colleges and gets the best jobs and makes the most money. And it all starts in high school with making good grades. But that young man, he was real friendly. I was actually teaching a training class on Sunday afternoon. I would go have church, and then on Sunday afternoon, I'd go teach this training class. And I talked, and his schedule was very typical. But he was just a really friendly guy, and I carved out a little section, I think a Saturday night, a few weeks later, and I was able to witness to him and lead him to Christ. And he just got real hungry in the Word. And I was able to work with him a little bit. He ended up going to college not long after, so I didn't have a lot of time. But when he would come back, I even helped him, had him help me translate a couple times to witness to somebody else. And that young man, he wouldn't be saved if I hadn't gone. There's so many stories that your missionaries can't tell you, but they would if they had the time. And we'll have that time one day in heaven. And I want to have a line miles and miles long of people that I've reached personally, but people that because of my missions giving and because of my support for other Christians and their ministries, they're going to say, you were a part of that. You know, the Bible said, Apostle Paul was talking in Philippians, he's talking to the church, it said, I desired fruit that abounds to your account. He said, when you gave to me financially and you assisted me, those people that I saw saved, God is recording that on your account for your rewards in heaven. And so many stories. Another Chinese young lady that my wife witnessed to, she got saved, and about 6 months after she got saved, she came back to me and apologized for deceiving me. I had had a contest in class, and I was giving away a dictionary, and a Chinese English dictionary that cost 55 yuan. It cost me about $8, and she had deceived me and cheated and won that. She had broke some contrast rules, but I wouldn't have known. But she had grown in Christ enough that 6 months later she came to me and gave me 55 yuan and said, "Brother, you know, Mr. Williams, I apologize. I lied and I cheated. I now realize that was wrong." And so many Chinese people, their whole thought in life, it's all money, money, money. If I can make a dime off of you, I'll cheat you. And that's how a lot of their culture, unfortunately, is all about the money. And my boss got cheated buying some, he bought a boiler that cost a lot of money and it looked beautiful. And then a year later, it stopped working. They cut it open and they realized it was an old one that had just been painted to look like brand new. And they would do stuff like that. And so her coming 6 months after that was just a proof of her growth in Christ. And she stayed connected with my wife for many years. And so many stories of people who would get saved if somebody would tell them. For our last passage, as we will go to the book of Romans. And this most famous verse, this one of the most famous promises in the Bible, Romans 10, verse 13. Probably many of us here could quote it. But if you do have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn there. A very powerful passage. To me, one of the best promises. I don't know how you could say what the best promise in the Bible is, but this one ranks up there. Romans 10, 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a promise. Now again, in verses 8 through 12, it explains, you know, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness," and it kind of explains that a little bit. But that promise, anybody can get saved if they'll call on his name. Okay? That's an amazing promise. But let's look at the next verse. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" In China, when I was there, when I would ask somebody in a conversation, when it got to that point, "Have you ever heard of Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? Ni renshir yesuma? Do you know about Jesus?" The most common answer I got was, "Who's that?" The second most common was, "Isn't that some figure in some Western religion?" And the third most common was, "Isn't that some character in that Western holiday Christmas?" And that was mostly the extent. 99.9% of the Chinese people I spoke to, that was the extent of their knowledge, pretty much. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? There are a lot of people, sadly, even in America, in today's America, with immigrants coming in and with families growing up that are just religious and just children growing up that know nothing. I mean, maybe they hear the name Jesus maybe, or at Easter or Christmas maybe, but it's happening here in America, but even more so around the world. You know, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And that word preacher there, I believe that's talking about a Christian, a believer, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, who's willing to share the gospel. You know, those stories that we want to hear, we'll only hear them if somebody goes to tell them. And you can go and tell your local area, but all of us know Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth." You can only fulfill that by you going yourself. But even if you go to Madagascar, you're no longer witnessing here, you know. And that's why we send missionaries. That's the whole point. We want to hear the stories. We want to hear the stories. And we are going to hear the stories. But we'll only hear the stories if somebody goes. Because in verse 15 it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" There's so many people lost and dying around the world. I'm not going to go there, but Revelation chapter 21 talks about the great final judgment, and everybody, the small and the great, are going to stand before God. And unfortunately, there's going to be some people who are going to rightfully say to God, nobody ever told me. And there are going to be believers watching on with blood in their hands, with tears in their eyes. I know there's no tears in heaven, but there are tears up until the point he wipes away the tears. And why does it say he wipes away the tears? It's because there were tears. And there's going to be Christians who are going to say, I wish I had done more. I wish I had gone more personally. I wish I had taken those tracks to my local area. And I wish I had done more for missions. I wish I had prayed for those missionaries more. I wish I'd given to more missionaries. I wish me individually, personally, along with our church corporately, had supported more missionaries and sent more missionaries around the world so that they could hear. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I told a couple stories, and I could tell stories for hours more. And I know that up in glory, we're going to hear many more stories that we just never hear here on earth. But Lord, you gave us a commission to share your word locally, regionally, nationally, continentally, and globally. May each of us do our part. Give us the boldness to reach out with the gospel locally, regionally, nationally, continentally, and globally. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Heartfelt challenge tonight. I trust that it spoke to your heart. Maybe someone you've thought about. Maybe I pray that maybe it's caused you to consider your part locally and globally. Amen. And so let's stand tonight. We're going to sing page 549. Maybe you got someone you need to pray for tonight. Maybe you need to pray for yourself and tell the Lord, Lord, I've got somebody you put on my heart. I know I should speak to them. I know. Give me the boldness, Lord, to do that. And it's not going to be some overwhelming feeling, to be honest with you. It's just going to be you stepping out and saying, hey, could I give you this track? You're just going to have to do that, even though that lump fills in your throat. But you'll find if you do that, God will open some doors for you to be faithful to do so. 549, you do as the Lord have you do tonight.